Blog Talk Radio.
How many of you would love to have an amazing love life? And how many of you would like to manifest that love life sooner rather than later? Hi, my name is Dr. Karen Kan, and welcome to the Law of Attraction and Love radio show. Today is our segment called Ask Dr. Karen. These are letters that have been written in to me through my website, www.lawofattractionandlove.com, from single people all over the world who have questions about relationships, questions about the Law of Attraction, and questions about how to use and harness the Law of Attraction in manifesting their dream partner, and that is my specialty. Before we begin, I want to thank you for being on the show today. If you are live with me on the show, it would be great if you wanted to give me a call. And if you had a question or a comment about, your life and the Law of Attraction or your life in your current relationship, you can call in at 347-945-6313. And if you're listening to this archived show and not live, I still want to appreciate and thank you for spending your time listening to the show and learning. I know your time is valuable, and I intend to give you as much value as possible for the time that we have together. So with that said, what we're going to do today is we're going to take the letters that I've received over the last several weeks and go into detail. Now, some of these people that wrote the letters may or may not be on the show live. Some of them are from other ends of the earth, so they can't be awake at this time. But I'm going to be answering their questions so that they can have some coaching for free. Let's see. Well, let's start with, this is a letter from Alfredo. And Alfredo asks, he says, "Hi, Dr. Karen. I'm Alfredo, age 27. I was in a very good point in my life. I only had positive thoughts, and the love of my life came along. We had a great relationship. We never discussed anything, and she was so comfortable around me. She kind of pretends around everyone else." Okay, Alfredo, that's a red flag. But he says, "But with me, she was so real, she even wanted to get married to me. One day, we had a discussion, probably our first one, and she decided to put it on hold for 2 weeks. After the 2 weeks, she dumped me, saying that a lot of things weren't real. My heart was broken. We work in the same place. 1 week after she dumped me, I found out she was flirting with the plant director, a 40-year-old man divorced with 5 kids, which I was at the time starting to hang out with. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe she was interested in him because of her religious background. Some weeks go by, and I decide to have positive thoughts again. I end up sending her a message saying that she's a beautiful person and that she will have more than what she expects from life. The next day, she calls me and asks me why I'm sending her those messages if I talk badly about her at work. Well, I couldn't understand what she was talking about because all I talked about at work was about how badly I felt and how much I loved her, but nothing bad about her. She also told me that time that the director relationship was a lie, that they were only friends. I spoke to her again and wished her the best and told her how special she was. 2 weeks later, I was trying to be friends with her again, and one day I get invited to eat with a group of people she's now hanging out with more. That day I found out the director thing, the relationship, was for real. I spoke to one of our mutual friends that day and told her I understood that it might be possible in the future for us to get together again. So she calls me later that day and tells me to stop thinking we will get back together, that I was a good person and great to be around, but she wasn't interested. I managed to get her to tell me the whole truth, and she confessed that she was dating the director after all, and she'd only been with me to please her parents to have a quote-unquote normal boyfriend. But she was only, she only thought of the other man while she was with me. But I also asked her why she wanted to get married to me, and she said she felt at the time that I was the person she was supposed to be with. She acts happy all the time. Once I saw her outside of work from a distance, and she had the most incredible sadness on her face. I don't know what to do. I still love her, and I'm sure that the director guy is not right for her since he is known to be a womanizer and has shown strange, angry side. Is it possible for us to be together again? I know she's a good person, but maybe she's confused. I know you can't change people with the law of attraction, but I still know we're so good for each other. Is it bad to wish us to get back together? How can I stop the strange behavior the director has towards me? He seems kind of angry sometimes or jealous of me, or that he's no good to me. Thank you. Okay, so this is a fairly lengthy letter, Alfredo, and I appreciate you for your detail, so I have a really good idea of what's going on in your relationship. A couple of things. You know, the kind of relationship that fairy tales are made of, that that people connect and are close, are usually the types of relationships that are what we call authentic. And what I mean by authentic are relationships that are built on a base or basis or foundation of truth. And truth meaning honesty, and truth meaning that both people in the relationship are real. Now, I've been in phony relationships, and in fact, my first relationship ever was with the husband that I married and was been with for 16 years. And I grew a lot in that relationship, and I totally bless him for his help in developing me. And what I discovered at the end of that relationship was there's a lot of phoniness that I had. I was really trying to be, you know, the perfect wife, trying to be, you know, the perfect daughter, daughter-in-law, I mean, the whole bit. And there was a lot of things that I did not admit to being real. And so it is very possible that the person that you're with has similar dynamics in her family. I certainly, in an Asian family, you know, our parents are revered, and their opinion of me was very important, more important than my opinion of myself, and that's very unhealthy. I learned to, you know, I learned about later, but so she may be going through something similar, that what other people think of her is much more important than what she thinks about herself, and unfortunately, you alone cannot change that. You cannot give her all the love and approval that she wants and then have her love and approve herself. It doesn't work that way. And in fact, I think what you've experienced is that she rejects you. Why? Because she rejects anything that doesn't approve of herself. You know, she's probably used to her critical parents, and she's going to attract other people that are going to be critical of her. And that's just the way it is until she becomes conscious of that pattern and consciously learns to change it. Okay? So a couple of things. She, you know, you mentioned that she pretends to be someone else around other people. That's a big red flag. I don't, you know, even though you think she was real around you, I think you found out the hard way that she wasn't, that she was phony, that she lies to you. She lied to you. You know, a lot of times people lie because they don't want to hurt somebody else's feelings. But in the end, it hurts a lot more because you never know. You can never trust that person. You really don't know what they're saying is real. They put a smile on their face and they seem really happy, but then underneath, you know, they usually have a really low self-esteem. And this is not the basis of or the foundation of a good quality relationship. So, you know, I'm sorry to tell you this news, but you're really setting yourself up for a lot more hurt in the future if you're persisting to chase this person who at this point certainly doesn't want to be involved with you. And secondly, even if you were involved again, there's still a lot of issues that need to be dealt with. And, you know, you guys are young. You know, so there's a lot of growth still. So it's not like I'm expecting you to be, you know, a 50-year-old person with, you know, has lots and lots of relationships with a lot of experience to come with certain wisdom. But I'm sort of giving you a heads up on what makes a good relationship. And authenticity is definitely up there. So you want someone who's going to be truthful and honest right from the get-go. It takes courage to be that kind of person, so I encourage you to model that behavior and be real and be truthful in all your relationships from this point forward. And being honest really means how you feel, not what you judge. In other words, thinking somebody else is mean is not a truth. It's actually a judgment. But saying you're sad is a truth, because no one can refute that you're sad. They can't, you know, debate whether you're sad. You know what I mean? That's something that you can't really argue. So that is what honesty, and that is what the truth is. Let's see. Later on in your letter, you talked about some problems at work. It sounds like there's a lot of what we call triangulation going on, which means that you're sharing some personal information with friends at work, and then they're sharing it with her, and then she goes and then calls you. Now, I don't know what, you're probably not doing this consciously and on purpose, but in some ways you're manipulating her calling you by telling people that you know, and because it's happened several times, you know is going to, you know, tell her what you said or tell her a version of what you said. Who knows what they're interpreting from the tone of your voice. So she's getting some sort of message. She gets angry and then she calls you. So even though it's negative feedback from her, she's still giving you attention, and that's what you really want. So here you are actually, you know, unconsciously telling people at work, which is probably inappropriate. I mean, they may be your friends, but unless you've told them, look, you know, I'm telling you between you and I, and I really don't want you to talk to anybody else about it, unless you're, you know, making those boundaries and they're overstepping those boundaries, you know, I would say see if you can find support elsewhere, outside of the work environment where she is not involved. Because I'm thinking that part of the reason you're really tempted to do this is because you know unconsciously down the road that she's going to hear about it and then she's going to call you. And that's what you're wanting. You're wanting attention from her. Okay? So if you're really wanting true support, I would say ask for support from friends and her family, or a counselor or somebody professional outside of your work, because there's clearly some inappropriate dialoguing going on. It's inappropriate for your coworkers to be telling her what you're telling them. It's inappropriate for your coworkers to be telling you what's going on with her. It's not appropriate. You're in the work environment, first of all. And second of all, if they're your friends, why are they telling you this? You know, a lot of people get very hung up and very, you know, they get interested in other people's business because they really can't get involved in their own. It's too scary. So they live through other people's miseries and other people's joys, and so they get overly involved. They become the go-between, and that is not appropriate, and it's not to your benefit. And as far as, you know, whether or not, you know, whether or not this director guy is right for her, that's not for you to say. She's chosen this person for her purpose on some spiritual level. It may be to teach her a lesson. Now, it may be a painful lesson, but you're not in charge of that. And I would highly recommend that you let go of any ownership or any thought that you know better. Spirit probably knows better, but we're not often in complete contact with what Spirit wants for us. So see if you can let go of that judgment, because all it does is block your own energy to manifest the partner that you want in the end. It's energy going elsewhere, and it's nothing to do with you. So I hope that doesn't sound harsh, but I really, really, really want you to be happy. And I can see these patterns. I've seen them many, many, many times, sometimes in myself, sometimes in others that I've coached. You're you know, entering kind of a scary place here where your energy is going outside of you, outside of your own wishes. And so see if you can let go of your judgment about the director, your judgment about what's going on. I mean, clearly if he's obviously hostile to you, you know, you can choose to confront him on that and say, hey, you know, is there any bad feelings? Do you have any bad feelings towards me? And if you do, let me know. I'm just sensing some stuff here, but I might be making it up. So if you do, let me know and see if we can clear, you know, some of this. And he might say, no, what are you talking about? It's ridiculous. I don't have any hard feelings to you. Or he may say, look, you know, I think you're really being a pain in the beep, you know, to my girlfriend, and you should leave her alone, and blah, blah, blah. You know, then you'll know for sure what's going on. So you may choose to, like, get it out in the open, but he is the director. So if he is someone above you, you know, it might be kind of scary to be that confrontational. One of the things that you can do on your end is stop judging him. Why? Because when you judge him for being a womanizer, you judge him for being divorced and having five kids, whatever you're judging him for, guess what? He feels that. He feels that negative energy, because judgment is negative energy. He feels that coming towards him, and that is why he could be responding to you in a negative way. You're not saying anything to him, but he feels that energy coming from your energy field, and he's reacting to it. So I bet you, in fact, I bet you money, that if you could successfully let go of the judgment, just understand that whatever their relationship is, just is, it's supposed to be, and it's supposed to be for your benefit, whether you like it or not. You may not like it right now. And you may even want to, like, you know, write, you know, in a journal, just, you know, all the things you appreciate about the director. So in other words, you're turning the energy around. You know, it might be that you appreciate him for being very punctual. It might be that you appreciate him for being a really good leader. It might be that you appreciate him for matching his ties to the socks every day because it's kind of cool. Like, whatever it is that you can muster up to appreciate about him and be genuine and real about it, not phony, real about it, he'll start feeling that vibration instead of your judgment. And then I think you'll find that things calm down between the two of you, sometimes without you even having to confront him about anything. This is the magic of energy and the magic of the law of attraction. So you can't stop his behavior towards you, but what you can do is stop your judgmental behavior towards him. Even though it's subtle, it's there in the energy field. So I think you'll find some pretty amazing stuff happens. I've had cases where, you know, my parents have been mad about something or upset about something, and they take it out on me, or at least in my perception. So they'll write this nasty email, and I'm like, whoa, where'd this come from? You know, how come I'm like the terrible daughter all of a sudden, you know? And then I realize it's not my stuff, you know? So what I do is then I just, you know, whatever they're, you know, questioning or, you know, whatever I've done wrong, whatever it is, I just say, you know, I don't, you know, quite understand, but you know what, I appreciate you for this, and I appreciate you for that, you know, I appreciate your concern for this, I know you have my best interest at heart, and I just, all I do is I just say, I open my heart, and it feels very settled and peaceful, and I just tell them I love them, and, you know, and appreciate them. And I don't even put fuel to all those things that they're, you know, accusing me of or criticizing me of. And the most amazing thing happens. I mean, their opinions just turn around like 180 degrees right away, you know, because they're just scared. And they're just scared of their own stuff that they're going through. And so it's been a wonderful way to create peace in my family. It's like completely not judge them for having their opinions and judgments. Just understand that they're them and, you know, they're lovable, and just continue loving them. So even if it's not your family member, you can direct appreciation towards them, a person that you're having a conflict with, and have really, really, really great results. Okay, so the bottom line, Alfredo, is that I think you deserve better. I think you deserve better than the treatment that you've received. And I'm not blaming your ex-girlfriend. What I'm saying is that you're kind of needy in wanting her back, someone who is in a place where she can't be honest with you. And the risk of getting hurt again are extremely high. Until she learns to be honest in all her dealings, you're probably going to get a lot of dishonesty in your relationship. So I'd highly encourage you to stop contacting her and stop getting other people to contact her and see if you can just let her go. Go ahead and give her positive thoughts. You can even write them down, but I would advise you to try this out, to not speak to her, okay? Because you have an ulterior motive when you do, that you want to get back together. So she'll feel that, and then she won't like it. So if you want to create less resistance, you can send her positive thoughts. Don't even tell her about it. Don't tell anybody about it. Just do it on your own. Stop, you know, stop connecting with her. Stop calling her, you know, and just see if you can just let it be for a while. I know it takes a while to let go of someone after you've stopped loving them, and then start concentrating on who you really want to manifest. Like, start from scratch. Like in my ebook, Creating Your Fairy Tale Love Life, I give you step-by-step instructions on how to create your fairy tale love life in manifesting your dream partner. So you're going to start with your wish list. Okay, and you're going to start with your wish list. And I would highly recommend you put on your wish list someone who's honest and authentic. Okay, that as number one, you know. And then, I mean, eventually, when you get excited about this new person that you're going to create in your life, it's even going to be better, like 100 times better than the relationship you just had, because the relationship you just had is there on purpose. It's for you to learn from it. So, you know, make your wish list and then, you know, follow the other steps in the book and embodying your new reality and all that kind of stuff. And I think you'll find, you know, you'll have a much, much more joyful relationship in the future. So thank you, Alfredo, for your letter. I really, really feel for you. I appreciate you for writing and blessings to you. Okay, the next letter is from Sam. Sam writes, Dear Dr. Karen, I really have enjoyed all of your shows and have learned a lot, and I want to thank you for this. You are welcome. I am in an unhappy relationship at this moment. I have tried several different approaches to make things better, and nothing seems to work. My partner and I have just grown apart. I feel as if I'm vibrating on a different wavelength, so we no longer connect. He is a very negative person, and sometimes I feel like his presence sucks the energy out of me. Since he is so negative, I can't even have a dream board because he will ridicule it. I have created my version of the dream board, a dream notebook. I look at it every day and do my visualizations, but things aren't manifesting. Is the fact that the notebook is closed blocking my manifestations? Please help. As always, thank you so much for your advice, and may you have a beautiful, blessed day. Well, thank you, Sam. I am having a beautiful, blessed day. So thank you for that. This is a really great question, Sam, because a couple of things come up. The sense I'm getting for you is you're wondering whether your notebook vision board or your dream notebook isn't good enough, and that's why you're not manifesting things. And the answer is no. It has nothing to do with that. I think that it's wonderful that you found an alternative method to your traditional vision board. And for those of you listening that aren't familiar with the vision board, a vision board is a wonderful tool to help you get into the energy of manifesting what you want. And traditionally, people buy a poster board or some sort of big piece of paper, poster size paper, 2 feet by 3 feet even, or bigger, and they cut out pictures from a magazine that represent the kinds of things they'd like to manifest in their life, whether it be a dream home or getting pregnant, having children, in my case, winning a gold medal in figure skating, you know, a new car, optimal health, a vacation in Hawaii, you know, whatever it is. They cut out those pictures and they put it on this board and they look at it every day and get their imagination going and get their heart, you know, space into the vibration of what they want to manifest. And that action helps them to vibrate at the level of manifesting what they want, because the law of attraction states how you vibrate, you will attract. So like attracts like. So if you can vibrate at what you already want as if you already have it, you will attract exactly that to you. So I congratulate you very much, Sam, for having your dream notebook. And a dream notebook is just as good as a vision board. So that is not the issue here. Now, for those of you who you know, don't want a big old vision board as well hanging on your wall for whatever reason, or you want to keep it secret, you can do what Sam's doing, which is a vision notebook, which is you can do drawings or pastings or whatever in a notebook with pictures you like, or you can do it the high-tech way like I've done at the website amazingvisionboards.com. And I have a monthly, I think it's $5 subscription, and I can create a whole bunch of different vision boards for different things and use their photos and pictures, which are wonderful, by the way, and actually write affirmations under each one and then set it to music so it flashes before you like a movie. And so I really, really enjoy those vision boards. So that's an aside. So those of you, I would highly encourage you to do some sort of vision board if you haven't. Now, for Sam, I think you're really, really clear when you say that your partner and you seem to be vibrating at different levels. In your perception, he's very negative, and you just don't, you know, you don't like it. You don't like that feeling, and in fact, at times he can even pull you down to his vibration, and like you said, suck the energy out of you. And then typically, people that are extremely negative, and oftentimes they have clinical depression, will suck the energy out of someone who does not, because their vibration is so strongly negative that you will literally entrain to their vibration. So your vibration needs to be even stronger to overcome that. But being in that atmosphere day in and day out can be very stressful and can be very difficult to hold your vibration. So the reason, you know, things aren't manifesting partly is even though, you know, you're doing your vision board and you're trying very hard to be in that vibration, having that other person around you that you don't connect with day in and day out, especially if they're openly negative, shifts your vibration because they tend to be stronger in their vibration, shifts your vibration to theirs. And so you may be spending 1% of your time in your manifesting vibration with your dream board and your dream notebook, but then 99% of your vibration gets pulled down because of your relationship with this person. So, you know, you have some choices. You don't have to, you know, you can't change the other person, right? They're there for a reason. You may want to, you know, experiment with asking yourself, what are they there to teach me? You know, why have I attracted this person into my life? What is the lesson I'm supposed to be learning? And it could very well be the lesson, and it may not be in your case, but it could very well be to learn to be assertive, to learn to say that's enough. These are my boundaries. You know, this is not acceptable. Or to create space, you know, to learn to create healthy space between you and a negative person so that you're not in a place where you're trying to cure them. I was like that with my first husband, actually. He had some depressive tendencies. There was definitely a long family history of mental illness, and there was in mine as well, but he had a lot of mental illness and alcoholism in his side of the family. And he would go through his fluctuations, and whenever he would go through a downswing and he was very negative, I felt my purpose was to bolster him up. So I would, you know, try to cheer him up. I would work so hard, you know, and, you know, eventually I would get depressed too because I was spending so much energy on trying to make this person happy. And then in the end, that wasn't my job. My job was to be happy. Why? Because in being happy, you model that behavior for that other person. Will they follow you? No. They might want to stay in their vibration, and you should let them or give them that space to be in whatever vibration they want to be. So in your case, you may want to seriously consider creating space. Now, I don't know what your situation is exactly or why you think that you can't create space. It could be physical space. It could be emotional space. It could be creating better boundaries. It could be finding your sacred space in your own home, you know, where you can have a private meditation space so that person's negative energy doesn't bother you anymore, you know. I would highly recommend you listen to the last radio show if you haven't already, How to Break Up with Someone. Not because you necessarily need to break up with someone, but because there's a lot of concepts that we talked about in there about the quality of relationship, the quality of breakups, and, you know, what to do when you're in a situation if you're romantically involved with someone and you really feel like, whoa, you know, this isn't working. And just to summarize that particular point with my guest expert, Pat Dion, who's an energy healer and spiritual healer, she said that in any relationship, what she personally felt was that she was going to go to the max of that relationship and do whatever they could, you know, as a couple to maximize their relationship together. And whatever, you know, if it came to a point where they've done everything they could to save or nurture that relationship and there's nothing else to do, then at that point it's appropriate to break it up. And sometimes it's like in your case where you're just vibrating completely at a different level and you just know in your heart it's not the right relationship for you. You know, then you need to take the action steps to honor your heart. So tough, you know, tough decisions. But certainly to answer your question, it's nothing to do with your notebook, and I would encourage you to continue doing that, your visualizations. But your relationship, you know, with this negative person is a big chunk of energy that you're spending, and the energy you're spending in either trying not to be negative or trying to fix them or, you know, trying to get away, whatever it is, that big chunk of energy is not going towards manifesting what you want. There's only a certain amount of energy you can produce right now. And if a large amount of energy is in this other relationship, you won't have the fuel, you won't have enough oomph in the present to manifest what you want. You may have to let go at least energetically, of this other relationship in order for you to move on. Okay, so Sam, thank you very much, very, very much for your letter. I appreciate that, and I appreciate what a difficult situation you're in. I certainly have experienced some of that in the past. It's not fun, let me tell you. Next, I have actually a question from Julie Ann. This is from my other website, understandinglawofattraction.com, where I'm, I actually don't have my name on there. I may change that in the future. I'm called the Secret Sage, and this is part of general Law of Attraction questions, but I thought this is a great question as well to do on this show, because it has to do with the Law of Attraction and also can be relevant to attracting your partner of your dreams. So Julianne asked, how long do you hold your attention to something you would like to bring into my experience or your experience? 1 hour? A day? More than that? Okay, so what Julianne is asking is how much energy, that's attention, focus, do you need to manifest something into your experience? She asked, does it require... Hi, it's Dr. Karen. Sorry, we lost power. Things like this happen. And you know what? The universe is trying to tell me, like, you know, I bought this device that helps with power outages, and I bought this like over a week ago, but did I figure out how to actually plug it in and use it? No. So the universe is saying, look, you bought this and put your energy towards it, so I need you to follow through, and otherwise your radio show is going to be disconnected from time to time when you lose power. Of course, it's a bright, sunny day today, so I didn't think we were going to lose power. But it's a good lesson, and you betcha I will be doing that today by the end of the day, so I don't get my radio shows disconnected again. Anyway, so... let's see, where were we? Okay, so Julie Ann, great question. How long do you have to hold your attention to something to manifest it? Well, my answer is this. It depends on how big this manifestation is to you in your perception. Okay, so for example, I have this watch that has a little fuzzy band, and you can actually replace the band when it gets dirty with any hair scrunchie. So there was a particular scrunchie that it came with, and I thought, oh, this scrunchie is so cute, I can't find it anywhere. So I put it in my mind that I was going to manifest it. So I kept picturing the scrunchie, picturing seeing the scrunchie over and over again in my mind. Well, it took about 2 days, and then voila, there it was in the Price Chopper, you know, in the hair section, and I bought it. Now, I wasn't able to do that again, you know, and sometimes it's hard to say for whatever reason that is, and I, you know, it's better not to question why. But the interesting thing was it didn't actually take that much effort, you know. I mean, I may have visualized it all of, what, 10 seconds, you know, maybe a couple of times, 3-4 times, and that was it. On the other hand, to manifest my dream partner, James, that took a lot more energy, but I also had a lot more passion behind it. So there was a lot of steps that I had to take, a lot of personal growth, a lot of things I had to let go of, judgments I had to let go of, relationships I had to let go of or change or shift. And that, because it was, in my perception, a big deal, manifesting your dream partner is a big deal to most people, to me included, it required a lot of energy. And it required dreaming about it and thinking about it. And it was natural for me to think about it because I wanted a pair skating partner so badly. You know, I was dreaming about pair skating with people like every day. Now that I have it, I don't think about it as much, you know, which is kind of funny because I love pair skating so much. But, I would dream about it all the time. But in terms of number of hours and minutes, I would probably say it started out to be no more than 5 minutes a day. And John Kehoe, who wrote Mind Power into the 21st Century, notes that affirmations done the beginning of your day, for the first 5 minutes of your day, over 5 weeks' time, weekly, can completely transform your life. And so I would say start with 5 minutes a day. 5 minutes a day of visualizing, or what we call in my ebook, Creating Your Fairy Tale Love Life, embodying. So that is visualizing with all the cells of your body, all your senses, all together, not just in your head seeing it, but feeling it with all the cells in your body, that your dream has already come true. To do that for 5 minutes a day on a regular basis until it becomes such a habit that in a moment, like in a second, you can just go, oh, I'm in my new reality, and then boom, get into that feeling right away, and to be able to shift your mood on a dime. Now, it takes a lot of practice to be able to do that, and I'm not always able to do that still, even though I've had a lot of practice. But sometimes I put on a piece of music. I'm very music-oriented, so I love music, love pictures, which is why I like the amazingvisionboards.com, because it has music and pictures. So I'll, you know, sometimes put on a great piece of music, get me in the good mood, and that'll increase my vibration. So Lynn Taggart, of who wrote The Intention Experiment, that's like the European version of The Secret, wonderful lady, does a lot of research. She talked about this concept of coherence. And coherence means is what are you vibrating the rest of the time when you're not visualizing your dream come true? You know, are you in a bad mood? You know, are you having conflicts at work with people? You know, are you feeling fairly negative? You know, all those kinds of things. So coherence means making your vibration similar throughout. So if your dream vibration is this sort of joyful, you know, expanded feeling, see if you can permeate this feeling throughout your entire day, you know, your entire existence. And it takes practice, let me tell you. Sometimes if you're, you know, in a PMS kind of mood, it's just not happening. But, you know, for the most part, see if you can infuse every single day, everything that happens to you, just saying, oh, okay, this is for my benefit, this is for a good reason, and accepting everything that comes along. And I'll just, you know, the power going out, it's a perfect example. It's sort of like, oh, okay, is it inconvenient? Yes. You know, does it bother me that I'm cut off mid-sentence and takes a few minutes to call back and interrupting other people who are listening to the show? Yes. You know, but I could choose to get really mad about it and get annoyed, or I could laugh and go, ah, well, you know what? I found a solution to that, but I haven't used it yet. How funny is that? You know, like we're just really funny people. You know, we're human. We're not perfect. And so it's just another example that we can just laugh about and go, ah, okay, that happened. Oh, well, you know, life isn't perfect, and move on. See what I mean? So making your vibration coherent for most of your day. You don't have to be visualizing your dream, okay, for most of your day. I mean, it's great if you can, but only like master gurus tend to do that. But so 5 minutes a day of, you know, visualizing with all the cells of your body, embodying, like we say in the book, your new reality, okay? And that's well taught in Laura Day's book, too, The Circle. And then the rest of the time, just see if you can match that vibration with the rest of your life. See if you can remain calm and peaceful, laugh, you know, things. If you're in bad mood, that's okay. Accept that, too. Love yourself for that. And make the rest of your existence peaceful, and that will really, really bring your manifestations a lot faster. So great question, Julianne, and hopefully you'll be listening to this because the Secret Sage people don't know about the radio show, so I'll have to give them a heads up for that. I have a question from Sarah, and this is also for the Secret Sage. Sarah asks, how can I use the law of attraction to lose weight? Well, I can answer your question very directly, Sarah, but I'm also going to answer the issues underlying your question. So let me answer your question directly first, because that's what you're asking. Using the law of attraction to lose weight is a really good paragraph in the book The Secret that Rhonda Byrne mentions. You know, she says that the term even, losing weight, is a term that actually does the opposite for us in our minds.
if we're thinking about losing weight, we'll just be attracting having to lose weight again and again and again. For example, if you're a really good problem solver, you'll always manifest more problems so you can solve it and feel good about yourself. See what I mean? So let's see if we can change the whole losing weight thing, or the wording at least, to something that is what you want to manifest. So you may want to say, I have a healthy, slim body, or I have a healthy, attractive, slim body. That's what you want to manifest. So notice that we use it in the present tense. So I have, or I am, so I am healthy and slim. And I really want to put the healthy in there, okay, because there's a lot of slim people that are very unhealthy. So you want to be healthy and slim, feel good about yourself. So choosing the words I am or I have is very powerful. It needs to be in the present tense. And it needs to be something when you read it, you feel good about, like, you know, I'm healthy and slim and sexy, you know, and you're like, yeah, you know. So you want to use those words that excite you and make you feel good. You know, like if you think about it, I'm losing weight, you know, I've lost 10 pounds. It's like, well, yeah, you can get excited about it, but it's kind of like losing weight. I mean, just those two words, like, blah, you know, but slim and sexy, or, you know, healthy and vibrant and full of energy. You know, I mean, those are much more bigger, they're bigger energies, I think, in those words. So you have to decide on your own what words you want to use. So first of all, change the wording. The second thing you should know is that anything you've lost in the past, you've lost your keys, you know, you've lost your mortgage papers, what do you want to do? You naturally want to find them, don't you? You want to find your keys. So the whole losing, you know, word is completely crazy. In fact, one of my teachers said what he likes is releasing. So releasing the fat or releasing the weight, you know, if you're going to use that term at all. So forget the word losing and just put releasing. Because when you release, you don't want to get back, right? But what you lose, you want to find. So sometimes it is semantics. So, to manifest this also, I want you to go deeper and ask yourself, why? Why do you want to lose weight? For anything that we want to manifest, whether that be $1 million or weight loss, and I hear this a lot, weight loss is very common. Why? What is it going to give you? What is your mind telling you that you're going to get out of it? Okay? Very, very, very important. You need to understand your reasons for being slim. So, for example, if you want to lose weight because you want to get your ex-husband back, I'm not saying this is the case, I'm just making it up, okay? So that's a whole different ballgame. That assumes that that's the only reason why I split up with you. And I can tell you from, you know, hundreds and hundreds of, you know, people that I've coached and you know, been a counselor for, that being big or fat or whatever is rarely the real reason why, you know, things don't work out, people break up, that kind of thing. Same thing if your goal is to be in a wonderful relationship. You know, I think it's a good thing to be healthy. I think it's a good thing to be good to your body, to nurture your body, and to be healthy. So excess weight can be unhealthy, you know. So I think it's a good thing to be in an appropriate weight for you. But at the same time, having a perfect body, you could look like Cindy Crawford, okay, does not guarantee you a good relationship or a good job for that matter or success or whatever, you know. There are plenty of people out there that are miserable and skinny, and I've seen a lot of them. So, and I've also met people that are wonderfully happy and they're heavy, you know, healthy but heavy. So you need to ask yourself why. Now, if your reason is because you want to be healthy, you want to live a really great life and feel really good about yourself, you like wearing nice clothes and looking good in the mirror and it makes you feel good about yourself, and, it just feels good, you know, on your body to have that slim, you know, slim belly, and you feel strong and confident. You know, I think, you know what, those are pretty decent reasons, because it has to do with you. It doesn't have to do with somebody else. you know. So identify your reasons why you want to be slim. And if there are reasons that are connected to who you are and how you feel about yourself, not dependent on how other people think and see you, then you have a much, much, much better chance of manifesting that than if it's dependent on what other people see you. Because when it's dependent on what other people see you, the underlying emotion is one of fear. And when you have the emotion of fear, it's very difficult to manifest what you want if that's the underlying emotion, okay? All right, so great question. And for anything, whether it be releasing weight, or you can use all the different steps, you know, in the law of attraction. Even though my ebook's on creating your fairy tale love life, you can actually transpose all of those seven steps into whatever you're trying to manifest. But I think in the case of losing weight, it's very, very important to understand why. And even with making money, you know, or attracting money, why do you want it? What is it for? You know, there's no judgment on that. It's just you know, what's the underlying emotion around it? Okay, so let's do our last question. Wait, do we have one or two here? Okay, last one. This is from Pim, and Pim's on Powerful Intentions in our forum, in our community. So this is great to have this question from her. Dear Dr. Karen, let's see here. I'm writing you not because I have difficulty solving my own problems, keep arising, but I found a perfect way to deal with them, so I just want to share this with you, hoping you can use them to help others sometime. Great. She writes, I was dumped by my boyfriend 2 months ago. Before he made the decision, we were both in a bad relationship. He and I were secretly thinking about breaking up, but we never told each other. I was selfish, as I was thinking of finding a new guy before leaving him so I would not get hurt too much. Okay, I'm just going to do an outtake here, just for everyone that's listening. You know what? It's not uncommon that people feel this way, that they need to find somebody else to cover the void before they break up with somebody. It's just not the way that I would prefer to do it. It happens sometimes that's the way that I think I ended up doing it, although, you know, I wasn't romantically involved, but I felt that way towards the new guy before breaking up with my husband, and that's what caused me to finally, you know, make the big step to break it up. So I think it was helpful in my case. But sometimes now I know that having a void, that empty feeling, the emptiness between one relationship and another, is actually really, really special and actually gets you a much better catch if you're willing to go through that void. Okay, so that's the aside. So let me get back to the letter. At the same time, he was also thinking that our relationship was not going to improve right away, but instead would end up with separation one day. He kept trying to make things better for our relationship, but it failed every time. And she put in brackets, because deep inside we believed in breaking up. And that is true, Pim. One partner can't keep trying while at the same time thinking that it's not going to work. So I finally cheated on him later on, as I had two guys approaching me. At that time, I had a crush on one of them, and he was exactly what I wanted to have as a boyfriend. But later on, there was something about this new guy that was not so impressive, and I couldn't take it, so I decided to stop talking to him. Then I realized that the new guy wasn't exactly what I wanted. I just had a good feeling for him because he came into my life when I was truly sad. Okay, I'm going to do another outtake. Absolutely, this is very, very common that, especially when we're in a sad relationship, other relationships, it's like the grass is greener, you know, look better. The other person looks better. And then when we get into relationship with them, then reality hits like, whoa, okay, this isn't really what I was thinking of. So this is actually really true. And sometimes when we don't have a separation time between one relationship and the next, it can be really difficult to be centered and balanced and to be in a place where you can really love yourself and not need to love another. Because if you're in that needy mode of needing somebody to love you because you don't want that void, and I understand that void, then you can manifest the quote-unquote not-so-perfect guy, you know, in the future, because you're just needy, you know, so basically attract another needy person. Okay, back to the letter. Then I thought that my current boyfriend should be the right one for me, and I would appreciate having him as a boyfriend. At that time, it was the same time that I read The Secret and The Key. In one chapter in The Key, it mentioned about making a list of what you want to have. And that's the same thing in my ebook. Then choose, then make a list of my dream partner. Before making a list, I concentrated and asked myself, what kind of man do I want to be with without having any bias? I came up with a long list. Yes, really long. None of the attributes I came up matched with my current boyfriend's personality. So at the time, it was so clear I wanted somebody else, but I had no idea who the hell he was. But then I thought back to my current relationship. I had no idea what to do with it. I was afraid to let him go. I was afraid of making a mistake. I was afraid of everything. Outtake again. Pim, I totally hear you. Fear is very, very common, especially if we're thinking of breaking up with someone because we're afraid we're making the wrong decision and we're going to be in that void, you know, that awful void that feels so lonely when we're not with anybody. And like I said before, and that in our show, How to Break Up with Someone, Pat talks about that void and what a special place it can be. So for those of us that are wanting higher consciousness, I highly encourage you to experiment with being in the void between relationships. Okay, back to the letter. I was so confused, I didn't know what to do. But can you believe that? 1 week after making the list, I got a call from my boyfriend, and he said he would like to break up with me, because he thought there was no way out for us. I was so shocked as I hadn't been prepared for this. He said he had to do this because he loved me more and been thinking about it for the last 6 months. Wow, what a treat. All I could do at the time was just let him go. Do you think that was a sign from the universe? Well, outtake again. Pim, you know what? The universe rewarded you with your boyfriend calling to break up with you instead of you having to break up with him, which sounds like it would have been harder, because you started taking some steps to take control of your life, control of your destiny. You started your wish list, and you started becoming clear, telling the universe what you actually wanted. And so the universe rewarded you with the result of, in this case, your boyfriend calling you up instead of you having to call him up to break up with you. So it was a gift. Okay, back to the letter. After that day, actually it was my birthday, yes, he decided to break up with me on my birthday, I felt so lost and bad about myself. I kept blaming myself, and I felt like I did so many bad things to him, blah, blah, blah. On the next day, I tried to forget everything and be happy with my single status, but on the day after, I felt sadness again. Outtake again. You know, Pim, why would you expect yourself to be happy the day after you got broken up? You still had a relationship. You still shared a lot of connection and feelings. You know, you're a human being, not a robot. I think you're really asking too much of yourself to not feel some degree of sad and loss after the relationship. And I think it's important for us to honor our relationships and honor the losses that we have and just be okay with feeling sad for a while. Allow yourself that sadness. Allow yourself to be where you are at the time. Because if you try to pretend and struggle against being there, it'll just persist longer. That's my experience. I think that's the teaching of many, many gurus over many centuries. Back to the letter. These mixed emotions stayed with me for a month. It was so hard and torturous, but I never gave up on defeating it. As time passed, I became clear about my feelings. I became a member of the Powerful Intentions website, where I met Dr. Karen, who introduced me to her ebook. I really liked it. Well, awesome, Pim. I'm glad you do. I did the exercise in the book, and it helped me a lot to get clear over my leftover feelings toward my ex. Every time I felt bad about my past, whether it was anger or sadness, I would list them out in my notebook. Then I would write down the reason it made me feel bad. And the key to make these feelings go away is to think positive. Okay, this is what Pim has decided from her experience. She says, the key to make these feelings go away is to think positive. I have learned that in every negative situation, there's a positive lesson hidden in it. Here's an example, which is my favorite one. Last night, I felt so bad about the time I wanted to break up with him, and I was about to decide to say it. It was the day before Valentine's Day. I felt that I couldn't live like this anymore, and I believed I had to move on with something new. So I called him and told him that I didn't feel so right about us. Maybe we should. Then he was so sad and said to me he knows what I think, but he wanted to try again, to please give him a chance because he wanted to take me to a special place on Valentine's Day. Please wait till Valentine comes and spend time with him so I can make up my mind about separating in the future. Well, I did give him a chance. Actually, I gave us a chance to work it out one more time. After Valentine's, we felt better about our relationship, but it didn't last so long. After 2 months, when he was ready to go, he suddenly gave me a call and said goodbye. So every time I think about this incident, I felt bad and sad, depressed, and angry at him. I judged him as being selfish and coward. I feel sick to keep this rotten feeling inside of me as I want to move on and then try to find a way to make this bad feeling go away. I believe there must be a reason why this happened to me. It seemed unfair as it occurred in a bad timing for me. But wait, wait a minute, actually it wasn't. I think back at the time when I wanted to break up first, it was the same time there were two guys approaching me. If he decided to break up at the moment, I would definitely go with either of the two of them. And if the story went like that, it would have ended up in more tragedy. So my ex did save my life. So the universe did know that the two guys weren't right for me, so my ex didn't choose to break up with me the first time. He waited till the time was right, till I stopped talking with the other two guys, to break up with me. I was relieved and thankful to my ex. Now at this moment, I feel so happy and grateful to him. I'm very happy with my life currently. I don't know when and how I'm going to meet Mr. Right, and I will stop finding him. I think start searching for him is what she meant, because I know when I'm staying calm and clear, good things will come. Isn't that right, Dr. Karen? Thank you for your help and concern. I really appreciate it. I'm happy every time I got your email. Thank you, and let's keep in touch. So, Pim, you know what? I think it's a great place for you to be right now where you can be thankful and grateful to your ex, even though you had lots of, you know, bad feelings and regret and sadness and anger between the two of you. It's very natural to have that in a breakup. But for you to get to a place, at least some of the time, where you can be really thankful for him breaking up with you the time he did. And like you said, see, what Pim did, everyone, was that she reframed the situation. This is a wonderful, excellent skill for all of us to nurture and develop. So reframe means that you take what seems to be an uncomfortable or unwanted situation and you reframe it in a positive light that serves you. So basically, you make up a story about why it was great, you know? And one of my favorite examples is, you know, someone who has been in an abusive relationship with say, her husband, you know, and this is unfortunately a common scenario. But you can say, well, how can that be great? How can being abused by her husband be a great situation? How can you reframe that? Well, you can reframe it a number of ways, but one of the ways you can say is, wow, you know, I was in this abusive relationship because he was sent to me by the universe to learn to stand up for myself, to learn to really understand how I tick and what I want, and learn to stand on my two feet and leave or do whatever, you know, believe in myself. And so, you know, I'm not letting him hit me again. And this is what I'm going to do. I have everything planned for the first time in my life. I've, you know, connected with lawyers. I've always been scared. I've talked to counselors. I've always been scared to do that. I'm developing my own bank account, and I've never been really good with money, but I realize it's necessary. So now I feel really good about myself because now I have my own personal bank account. I know how to write checks. I even know how to do online banking now. You know, so all these things that can happen out of a seemingly negative situation because you're able to reframe it. And it's a wonderful, like I said, a wonderful skill to have to be able to reframe it. So, Pim, thank you so much for writing. And I know you couldn't be live on the show today, but hopefully you'll hear this and all that positive feedback. Well, our time is up, and I've got beeping in my ear right now. It must be call waiting. I love doing these shows. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for your letters. If you have more questions for me, feel free to ask me at www.lawofattractionandlove.com and fill in the Ask Dr. Karen box, and I'll be happy to answer your question in an upcoming show. I do have a show at the end of June on jealousy. And I had something come up with one of my coaching clients, so I thought it would be a really great topic to do a show on, jealousy. Please, if you love the show and you are on Blog Talk Radio as a listener, if you rate it as your favorite, I would greatly appreciate it. So Karen Gannett, actually that's my married name, Karen Gannett. So Karen Can, Dr. Karen Can is my new maiden name. And I wish you all well, blessings, and have a wonderful week. Bye for now.